Hey, welcome to episode 143 of the Bobbycast, and it is with L. King. We had our South by our morning show, and so we talked a lot more than we got to actually put on the radio show, so I wanted to put it over here so you can hear the full interview, because I like L a lot. So, yeah, L. King, before we get into that, let me talk about LifeLock for just 1 second. For more than 3 years, a software vulnerability in the Google Plus social media network gave third-party developers access to people's information, their private profile information. So basically, 500,000 people who shared private profile data with a friend could have had their stuff stolen. Personal data, personal info, and when it gets exposed, that's trouble because people, criminals, can open accounts, file tax returns, they can even buy property. A lot of threats in today's connected world. It takes 1 week link and criminals could get in. And so good thing new LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity and your devices that you can't easily see or fix on your own. So no one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats that you might miss. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock. Use the promo code BONES for an extra 10% off your first year, plus a $25 Amazon gift card with annual enrollment. That is promo code BONES. I have LifeLock. I use LifeLock. I love it. Terms apply. All right, about to get into the L. King interview. I'd like to encourage you to check out the Sore Losers podcast. I actually have Lunchbox here with me right now to talk about that for a second. What do you talk about on this show?
We talk about sports, yeah. And then we talk about just our lives in general and some news stories as well. But we try to talk sports.
What do you talk mostly about?
Probably sports.
Does Eddie know anything about sports or no?
Nothing about sports. He doesn't even watch the games, and he comes in and tries to give opinions, and it's sometimes frustrating, but sometimes funny.
More frustrating? Eddie, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I try my best, and when I watch sports, I think I nail my opinions.
You nail your opinions.
Oh, yeah.
You really can't be wrong in an opinion.
That's what I'm talking about.
They put out new episodes every day. You can listen to it on iHeartRadio or wherever you search for podcasts. Just search for Sore Losers. S-O-R-E, Sore Losers. Who came up with that name?
Collectively.
Group effort. Group think.
Oh, yeah. Group think.
We thought really hard. It kind of hurt a little bit.
Check out Sore Losers. And now, da-da-da. Here we go with L. King. We liked her. She's good, huh?
She's fun. She's so cool.
She's so fun. Yeah.
Yes.
So here we go. Episode 143 of the Bobbycast. L. King. L. King. There you go.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
L. King. There she is. L. King. All right. Hey, L. Sit right there. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Look at you. We met a few times. Do you know that?
Yeah, I know that.
Okay. I'm always like the quiet guy that's like, hi, I'm Bobby. Nice to meet you. I'm a nerd. Are you good?
I'm great.
Yeah? You excited about this record?
Yes.
Let me play something from it here. This is the single Shame.
Shame, 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 shame. Mama doesn't know every night you go. Shame, 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 shame.
How long does it take to do the record?
I don't know. I think I'm a bad person to ask because it takes me like well over a year.
So you start this a year ago?
Yeah, I started May of 2017.
You know what's funny is that I guess I knew you. I listened to a lot of pop and alternative stuff, and I used to work in that area too. And so I knew you from this. Is that still the jam to you?
Honestly, I still love playing it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. Thank God.
So when you recorded this back in the day, did you know, back in the day, like it's been 100 years? Really.
I mean, it's been a few.
What was the idea with the song? Where did you want it to go? How did you kind of see it landing? Because it's on, before I knew it was on pop radio.
I don't think I had any like goals for that song. I didn't think it would even make the record, let alone be the single. I just wrote it about a couple like, you know, people I dated, and it took like a year for it to do really anything. But no, I didn't have any like big plans for it. It's kind of one of those wonderful surprises of life, I think.
When your song goes up, do you make a bunch of money from a pop song? Does it start to kind of come in from like more than other formats because it's so widespread?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it just on pop radio, it just goes to, it's just like such a huge audience, you know? I got a lot of syncs from it, which is awesome. Yeah.
Here is the song that I think our audience was introduced to you by. It's different for girls. Yeah. When their hearts get broke. You and
Dirks? Yeah.
So good. You're so good.
Thank you.
So you spent a bunch of time here, because I know during this run is where you and I met the first time, because you were doing a lot of stuff with Dirks for the song. Had you been in Nashville a bunch prior?
I lived in Nashville. I got my license here.
Your driver's license?
Yeah. I know. I shouldn't have passed the test, but I got it. And I still have it. No one's taken it from me yet.
So you were in Nashville, then you left, and you moved to California?
No, I moved back to... I actually, drove around in a truck for, a year. And then...
Wait, what? You can't just move past driving around in a truck for a year.
Yeah, I drove, all... I went to Canada. I got my heart broken in Nashville, and I left. And I went up to Canada. My best friend from New York was living up there. And we went all over Canada for a while. And then we drove all over the country. And I ended up in the desert. And then we drove back to New York. And I lived back in New York for a couple years. And then... My music kind of took off. I didn't really live anywhere. I lived on a bus. And then, recently I moved out to L.A., and so that's where I live now.
Mm. L. King is here. I'm such a fan. It's cool to have you in here. I was reading a story about, I think you have a John Lennon signed record. Is that true?
I do, yeah.
Imagine. How do you get a John Lennon signed record?
My dad gave it to me for my birthday.
Wow, what a gift.
I know. Very, very wonderful. And it's a record's not that big, and we have it over the fireplace, which is this big, well-lit, place for a big piece of art, but it's just that little record, and it's beautiful. It's my most treasured thing now.
Really?
Yeah.
In your house, what's your favorite picture that you have? Like when you think about this picture means a lot to you.
There's two. Probably a picture of my grandparents. My grandma's passed away, and so I have it in my kitchen. And then there's a picture of me and my little sisters that my stepmom took and gave to me in a little frame, which means we're getting along now, and my little sisters love me. It's great.
I saw a picture of a fan that had, I think it was a whole forearm tattoo of you.
Yeah.
And it's hardcore. The art, it's you.
It's good too, right?
It's a great, it's such a risk to get tattooed with something specific, but it looks exactly like you.
It's kind of crazy. That's the first, someone had gotten my autograph tattooed, and they were waiting outside of a show, and I signed it, and it was a bad signature. So I licked my finger and tried to rub it off, and they got the rubbed off part tattooed too. And I thought that was nuts, but then yeah, somebody in Canada got a whole portrait of me.
Yeah, and it's over their entire forearm.
Yes.
Now, have you met them since?
I haven't met them since the tattoo, but we are playing a show in Toronto soon, and that's where they're from. And so she wrote to me on Instagram and said she was going to surprise me, but that was a surprise enough. So, I got to do something nice for her, right?
That's free tickets for life.
Right? Okay, that's true.
That's free tickets for life. If you go to town, I have a dude that got my face tattooed on his arm.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's whatever, if I'm ever in town, what do you want? My food? No, it's crazy, right?
I have to hang out with them.
Yeah, but you have to be with someone else, though.
No, and well, they tattooed us before, so I know them. So it's all right, I'm going to come hang out and have a full-on evening. And I'm not going to tattoo her face, but, maybe something close.
You have a record called Shake the Spirit. We played a little bit of Shame here. Let me play a little more of this. Shame, 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 shame. And this is the song that's doing so well right now, huh?
Yeah.
It's on, I was looking at it before you walked in. It's on all the charts.
Yeah.
There's 7,800 charts, and you're on 7,799 charts.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, look at that.
That's awesome.
How about this one? Let me play this one. This, Don't need nobody. A little bit of loving.
Yeah.
It's a jam here.
Yeah.
Tell me about this one.
That's a crazy song. I wrote this song, I was in Texas, and it was we had done the first day of recording, at Echo Lab, and, the guy, Matt Pence, who ended up co-producing most of the stuff that we did in Texas, I think he could tell that I kind of want, the house we were staying was attached to the studio. And so he was like, Elle, you can stay here and play, after I leave. And I was sick. And all the boys had gone to bed, and it was 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, because I just never sleep. And it was a crazy thunderstorm, and I just got this idea, and I couldn't keep up with my hands. I'm not a great piano player, but it just was coming out of me fast. And I wrote the whole song in less than 2 hours, and I waited till 7 o'clock, and I went and banged on everybody's doors, and I was I got it, I got my song. And I woke everybody up, and I made them go to the studio at 7 o'clock in the morning. I was play this. And I just remember I was super lost when I had written this song, and I remember I was singing the outro part And it's just this beautiful message, and I realized what I was singing, and it was like I snapped, you know, like out-of-body experience. I snapped back into my body and, like, started crying. I was like, wow, this is a powerful song. This is really, like, moving me, and it's definitely my favorite song of the record.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Ah, I was drawn to it. That's why I played it first after the single.
Cool.
Yeah.
I don't need nobody.
A little bit of loving.
Don't need no one. Still got a little bit of loving left in me. I don't need nobody.
When did you realize that you could sing? Like, you really could sing to the level where you can make money off of it and, like, have a career?
Well, I don't know. I think I've always been told that I had a good voice. And, like, when I was younger, like 13, I went to this, like, musical art or this, like, performing arts camp. And I was always part of the productions and everything. And it was really, really fun. But when I started playing out in New York at, like, 16 years old, people would kind of come and, I mean, yeah, it started first like high school friends and stuff, and then it just kind of kept going. So I guess from like 16 on, I was like, well, hey, maybe there's something to this. Plus I got free beer without being 21, and I was like, this is great.
When did you start playing guitar?
I started playing guitar when I was about 12. Yeah.
Were you gifted a guitar and like, hey,
no,
you should play, or did you go buy it? You wanted
to? Oh, gifted
to
a guitar. Yeah, yeah. My dad got me a guitar, a little electric guitar, I think like a Fender, like Stratocaster. And then I think maybe my stepdad let me borrow a like Washburn acoustic guitar, and he had his buddy Joachim Kearns, very talented guitarist, who's like super handsome. He would come over and like me, like 12, 13 year old girls, like, yeah, I'll practice. So he taught me how to play. I can't read music, but he was like, I could show you like how to play some songs. I was like, yeah, sick.
L King is here. The record is called Shake the Spirit. It's out now. This song, is this on a commercial?
Well, yeah.
Is that how I know it?
Yeah, maybe. It's because we haven't released it yet, so it's on a Harley Davidson.
It's on
a
motorcycle?
Yeah.
This is called Baby Outlaw. You like this one?
I do. It's fun, yeah.
Are you trouble?
I think depends on the day. I have been trouble. I think I'm into cleaner trouble now, but I used to be a lot more trouble. I'm still a horrible influence. Totally, yeah. I like to say I'm very persuasive, you know?
Yeah. Weren't you doing a thing in town? And by the way, for those that don't know, your dad's Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
Didn't he come to town and you guys were going to sing together or something?
We were, yeah. We were going to sing at Pilgrimage, and it got rained out.
That's what it was.
10 minutes before my set.
I think
my dad was, yeah, crazy, right?
Yeah.
I didn't even get to really see anybody, so I'm sad, but.
Was that a weird thing growing up with a super famous parent? Or
well,
was it just normal?
I mean, it was just my normal, you know? And it just because, I mean, I grew up, it's not like my dad, like, got famous as I was older. My dad, you know, got on SNL the year I was born. So, it just was normal to me.
Do people ever yell, you can do it at shows?
At my shows? Yeah. They just yell, Rob Schneider!
Oh, they don't even do the bit. No. They just yell his name.
It used to make me so mad. I'd be like, kick him out! And he'd never get kicked out, but it would make me so mad. And now I'm like, okay, yeah, that's my dad, all right.
Let me play this one for you. We could have tried to be part of. Come on. I could have practiced more patience. It's called Good Thing Gone. I pulled a few of the songs that I really like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this one.
Thank you.
Kind of feels a little bit of that 60s soul.
Yeah. That's like one of my biggest inspirations, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah, just that old soul music. It just like, I mean, I've had my heart broken a few times, but like there's just nothing like a good, really emotional, like tight band, but like great heartbreak song.
You need to be sad to write good songs?
I think great songs come out of pain. But I think people are like, well, what are you gonna do now? You're like happy and you're doing fine. I'm like, I've been through enough. I think I can pull from it.
Oh, you can just go.
Yeah,
you can jump back in. By the way, this is Amy. Amy is in Austin right now.
Hi. That was funny. Yeah. That was funny.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like sometimes too. Like I'm pretty good right now, but I can. Yeah, I remember.
But
yeah.
That song's super emotional, and I did one vocal take for that.
Really? Uh-huh. Hold on a minute. Let me hear this again. One vocal take. You just hopped in, sang it.
Yeah, because I broke down and cried, and I said, I'm sorry, I can't sing it again, and I walked out of the studio, and we used it. We could have tried a bit harder. Mm-hmm. I
could have practiced more patience. Mm-hmm. One time.
Yeah.
Are there, do you hear things in it that are flaw-like, but that you love now because you only did it one time?
Oh, yeah. So after the second verse, you can hear me, my voice quivers because that's when I started to cry. And I just remember being like, El, push through this, just get through one take of it. And so I'm crying. And then by the really silent breakdown in it, there's no hiding the fact that my whole voice is just I'm weeping in it.
Man, look at you. You got an awesome record. It's out now. People should stream it, buy it. What would you rather them do? People do whatever we tell them.
I don't know.
Steal it.
LimeWire. Isn't that inevitable? You know, I want people to listen to it. It means a lot to me, and maybe it'll mean something, or maybe it'll just remind somebody that they're not alone. You know.
Right.
Yeah.
I find that's kind of my goal with a lot of things too. Because I feel, and I felt at times very isolated and alone, that I had these feelings that no one else. And I wrote my first book and I thought, I'm going to put things in here and no one's going to understand and they're going to have sympathy. But then I realized it was just empathy, that people actually went, oh, I'm glad you said that because I felt the same way and didn't know anybody else felt that way.
Yeah.
That's cool that you think that.
I mean.
You're a person of the people. I love that. You're a person of the people.
I don't know. I used to have a different message and I was like, have fun. Have a good time all the time. And now it's like, hey, take a second, love yourself, man. But it's true, you know?
What time do you wake up in the morning every day?
Today I woke up a little bit later, but I usually wake up in LA about 7 a.m.
Really?
Yeah, just like this. I'm up! That's what I say.
Oh, you're a morning person.
Oh my gosh, yeah. There's no fighting it.
What is wrong with you?
I try. I like it. I wake up super early. But then sometimes I take a nap around 9.
Is that a nap or is it just falling back asleep? That's pretty early.
No, because I get up and I have breakfast and I go down and I watch my court shows and then I take a little nap and then I'll play a little piano. But I never get days off at home. And so that's like my daytime routine. And then I'll go to the gym and swim and then I'll eat In-N-Out because California's great.
Yeah, In-N-Out's pretty legit. Yeah. El King album, Shake the Spirit, the single out now, Shame. It's really good to see you. Thanks for coming by.
It's good to see you. Thank you for having me.
You're a real breath of fresh air.
Thank you.
Yeah. El King, and we're back in 1 second. Come on, get your Bobby Bones on.